here. Back up here a little bit, guys. No, you're fine. You're going over there, are you? Okay. You don't want me to kick you? Let's pray. Father, how we thank you for this opportunity that we can come together to offer words of praise in the songs that we have sung, to offer our requests to you, words of thanks, and knowing that you've heard the cry of our hearts, to realize that you are here with us. You've been with us this whole entire past week, how you've watched over us, how you have protected us, how you have provided for us, how you ministered to our soul, refreshed us, renewed us. And we thank you, Lord, that even on this Lord's Day, that there's always something new, something different that you wish to reveal to each one of us. And we simply submit ourselves to you and into your hands. And above all, that we pray that your will be done. And Holy Spirit, I just ask again for that special anointing that you provide for your people and even for me as well. And that, Lord, that though your people have gathered and they hear my voice, but the desire of my heart is for them to hear your voice through your Spirit speaking clearly and distinctly. And they will know that you are indeed, you are the living God, you are the living Christ. So how we thank you, Lord Jesus. And it's in your gracious name we pray. Amen. We're going to kind of walk through this particular passage that was just read to you. And I thought that was great for the young people here to have a part, you know, in the service, you know, because that's the future church as well. And so it's good to have that opportunity that they can share. But, you know, in this passage here, in Luke chapter 24, the first 12 verses there, you know, we marvel at what's being said, what's being declared. It's a message, I believe, of surprise. It's a message of discovery. And it's a message of wonder. And even we're all familiar with the story, with the content itself, but you know, every time that I read a particular passage, you know, whether it's in my morning devotions or in your time alone with the Lord, especially those stories that we're so acquainted with and are so familiar with, it's always asked, you know, I asked the Lord, even this morning as well, Lord, just give me some fresh eyes to see it for the very first time. Not to be so familiar with it, I just kind of, okay, I know that, I know how it unfolds, you know, I know how it ends. But maybe just to read it for the very first time. It's like what Patty brought out, you know, as far as that Jesus knows us by name. That was, you know, it's new. It's good to hear how God ministers to our hearts, you know, to our soul. And, you know, just reminders. We all need those reminders. So there again, you know, let's just kind of look at it. We'll kind of walk through it briefly again. Just kind of different style, different way that I'm going to present God's word. But there again, it says there in verse 24, or chapter 24, verse 1, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the woman took the spices they had prepared, and they went to the tomb. Now, we know that Jesus died on Friday, and probably roughly the time that he had died, it would have been anywhere between 3 and 6 o'clock that afternoon. The Sabbath was about to start. And they didn't have time, you know, as far as to do what they needed to do, even though they kind of wrapped them up, you know, laid them in the tomb, rolled the stone, had it in place, and of course Pilate made sure that it was sealed, but it was not complete. And because, as the scripture says, there's, when you kind of back up there a little bit there earlier, that they went home, the verse that precedes over chapter 24, it says they went home and prepared spices and perfumes, but they rested on the Sabbath in obedience for the commandment. And so they knew that they were going to come back. But I guess I kind of wondered, you know, when they were going to the tomb, did they realize the weight of that stone that they would have to move? Do you have any idea how much that stone weighed? You know, wasn't just a small stone that was placed in there. Go ahead. How much do you think it weighed? You're Close, but not quite.
7-12?
No, you're going too high now. Got to come down. No, down. Up.
2 tons,
okay. I knew we'd get there eventually. You know, so that's a massive stone. And, you know, so whether those ladies gave that any thought as far as, because they did say the question in another account, another gospel account, who's going to roll the stone away? Who's going to move it for us? Because they knew that probably they themselves, they didn't have the strength, the ability to move that. But also at the same time, you know, the stone, you know, it was sealed. And so who was going to, you know, break the seal on that stone? Now, another passage, you know, kind of says to us there that there was a violent earthquake that occurred. And an angel came down. And I'm sure when that angel, you know, as I kind of hypothetically kind of envision in my mind, you know, thinking, you know, he probably just took his one finger and just kind of, and the stone moved. Or he could have just spoken, you know, and the stone moved. Now, the stone wasn't moved to let Jesus out. You know, some people may think, you know, is that why the stone was rolled away? So Jesus can get out? He could have came through that stone without being rolled away. But it was for people to look in and to see and to wonder, you know, as far as what was happening, what was going on. So they were making their journey to the tomb. And I guess I had to ask myself, what kind of journey have I been on of late? What kind of journey have you been on? Maybe not so much, you know, to a tomb. Maybe. Maybe there have been times, you know, you've kind of gone to cemeteries. I know that I have. I know where my wife is buried. And I've stopped by, you know, just to pay respect, you know, and sometimes in my mind, I'm carrying on a conversation as well, you know, as far as with her. It's just me. You know, people, you know, they go through stages of grief differently and so forth. And I just kind of go over, you know, basically I just kind of tell her how much I miss her. And also I tell her about what the boys are doing, a little bit in my mind, in my heart. But I'm wondering, you know, what these ladies, what they were thinking. Because they had witnessed something very horrific as far as what had happened to Jesus there on the cross. And I'm sure that I was so embedded on their minds and their hearts as well. And they were at a loss. And they feel that maybe perhaps they were a bit downcast. And maybe they were in turmoil, wondering, you know, okay, what's going to happen in the days ahead? What's going to happen in the weeks ahead? They remember their time with Jesus. They remembered, you know, part of the healings that had occurred. They had also witnessed some resurrections or heard stories of resurrection as well. They weren't there, you know, they were there with Lazarus when he came out of the tomb himself, because they told Jesus, you know, hey, he's been in there for 4 days, you know, and you're asking us to do the impossible. And he said, just roll the stone away. And Lazarus came out. But they all kind of forgot all of that. It seemed that they had forgotten. But they're still making their way to the tomb, just as you and I, in our journey, making our way in life, trying to get through it. They found that the stone, verse 2, they found that the stone was rolled away from the tomb, and when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And I'm sure, again, wondering, you know, what happened? What's going on? Where did he go? Because they were wondering about this. What's on your mind this morning? What are you wondering about? We celebrated, you know, his resurrection. We're still celebrating his resurrection as well. We're all on a journey. Something new, something exciting may happen in our lives. And something, you know, and I like the words, you know, that was read earlier about the, they're from Psalm 42. You know, why are you downcast? Why are you discouraged? Why are you in turmoil? Put your hope in God. And also, if I remember that passage, you know, as you continue, you know, looking at that Psalm 42, you know, I remember how things used to be. But today, I'm just out of sorts. And I'm sure that these ladies, you know, their hopes and their dreams were just smashed and scattered. How do you pick up all the pieces? of what Jesus was saying, what Jesus declared. Where do we go from here? How does life seems to be so unfair. It doesn't seem to be right. They were wondering. And now his body is taken away. Having no idea, no clue what had happened. Did someone come and steal his body? Did someone take him away without us knowing about it? What's going on in our lives? What's going on in your life? But then something supernatural happened. Suddenly, the scripture says, there was two men in clothes and gleamed like lightning stood beside them. And in their fright, in the lady's fright, the woman bowed down with their faces to the ground. How would you have responded to something like that? And there's something supernatural obviously took place. And being caught up in the moment, you know, having that divine encounter, having that divine experience, it says that they were fearful, but also reverent. Where they just simply bowed down. Now, I kind of wondered, you know, as far as what the scene must have been like, because I mentioned, you know, that the stone was rolled away. But also the passage says that when all this happened, the soldiers that were there that were guarding the tomb, they had fallen, they had passed out. And so when the ladies had arrived, you know, I'm sure maybe these men were still laying on the ground for all that I know. I'm just assuming that. And so what was happening here? So they're seeing all this, and all of a sudden two men appeared, gleaming like lightning. That was pretty bright. I mean, you've seen streaks of lightning in the sky, have you not? And it's pretty bright. And it's pretty terrifying as well. I remember one time when I used to live up on Piney Ridge when I was pastoring at the Valley View Alliance Church. You know, I just amazed. I always like to stand on the back porch and just watch those streaks of lightning, you know, going in all directions and so forth. When you're up on top of the hill, you can just really see it. It's phenomenal. Until one time, this one streak of lightning came and hit a tree, and I saw sparks fly, and I ran right into the house after that. It was too terrifying for me to stay out there, you know, in something like that. But yet, you know, here are these ladies, and they fell down, and they bowed their heads, as the scripture says. And as we go on here in the scripture, it says, but the men said to them, why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, for he is risen. Why? You know, what are you looking for in your life and in your journey? You know, what is it that you're hoping for? You know, as I think about those questions, I know I'm raising a lot of questions, but sometimes you got to raise questions to somehow, some way, to find some answers. Sometimes there's no answer. But other times, you know, it's just knowing that the presence of God is with you and he's watching over you and he's providing for you. And he's doing some pretty remarkable things in and through your life. And as I thought about this, you know, as far as what was going on, you know, as far as wondering and hearing the words, because, you know, he's not here, he's living, he has risen from the dead. And then they went on to say, remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men. He will be crucified, and on the third day, he'll be raised. It's almost like, you know, the angel will say, do you remember his word to you? And I'm sure they remembered the part about, okay, yeah, the betrayal, okay, we do remember that, the crucifixion, well, yeah, that's obvious, that just happened just recently. And maybe they did, in a way, believe in the resurrection, but maybe they thought, you know, because it was Jesus who performed the resurrections, you know, calling Lazarus to come forth. Jesus was present. And even for Jairus' daughter as well, when he took, you know, Peter, James, and John, you know, with him, Jesus was present. And now the idea, you know, as far as him being raised from the dead, who's going to do that? How's that going to happen? How will that even take place? And the angel said, you know, do you remember his words? Because this is an act of God. God is going to intervene, and God is going to do something miraculous. We want you to know the God that you serve and the God you worship, he is of the living, not of the dead. And Jesus came to exemplify who the Father is for us today to enjoy. But also to realize and to know, because then it says here in verse 8, then they remembered his words. They remembered exactly what he was saying. And I guess when I came to that portion right there, and we can kind of read on because, you know, they went and reported it to the disciples. And the disciples, guess what? They didn't believe what the ladies reported. In fact, they even said, you know, and the disciples were Jesus' first skeptics. You know, we have skeptics. You know, when something new and something exciting happens to us, you know, we like to tell everyone else. You know, and when we begin to tell everyone else, we could tell just by looking at them. They're looking at us like a deer with a headlight, you know, as far as, you know, that's nonsense. That's crazy. You're nuts. Nothing new under the sun. Because the disciples felt that way with this report coming from the ladies. They just thought it was just utter nonsense. But Peter, he heard, he was listening as well. Maybe he kind of voiced in with the disciples as well, you know, this was nonsense, but something was triggered in his heart and his mind. That the scripture says, of course, another passage says, John also, they both ran to the tomb to see if, and hey guys, They ran to the tomb to see if indeed, you know, that it was true. And of course, you know, Peter looks in. And when Peter looks in, he sees that there was no body in there. And seeing that there was no body in there, he wondered. That's all it says there in Luke's account. He just wondered. What has happened? What's going to take place? What will happen next? I think if anything that we can learn from just this passage alone is to know that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead and that he is alive. We celebrate today a risen Savior whose name is Jesus, and he knows us by name. He calls us by name. Even right now, he knows your name. He knows where you live. Nothing's hidden from him. But also, I think we need to realize, you know, because when we think of the resurrection, we think of new life. You know, it pales in comparison to the new things that we find pleasure in, does it not? We always want something new. New clothing. Now, my wife was always good in getting me a new shirt for every Christmas. I wear shirts until they're almost threadbare. She would always say to me, Rich, you're not going out looking like that. Because it was threadbare. Well, why not? It fits. I can still wear it. It's good. She said, oh, please, you know. So she just got in the habit, you know, just buy me a shirt, you know, because I wear things forever. But to her, you know, she just wanted to make sure I had something new. And I would wear it. But you know, with clothing, you know very well, they don't last forever. And don't you find it amazing as far as when it comes to clothing? With jeans, how it's very fashionable to have, you know, a hole in your knees. Man, if I knew that, you know, way back in the 60s, you know, because back in the 60s, you got a hole in your knee, guess what? You got a patch on it right away. You don't dare step out, you know, unless you get that patch on, those iron-on patches. That's what grandma, you know, grandma always said, oh, Richie, you know, you got a hole in your knee there. Let me patch it up for you. So she would either sew it. But then it came on with these patch-ons, you know, and they were great things. And you thought you were cool by having these patches all over your pants, you know. The one I really liked was when you get a new appliance. Well, isn't that great? I mean, I know that I had to get a new washing machine here, you know, some maybe about 5 years ago. And I think we all realize, you know, they don't make things like they used to make them. You know, it seems like, you know, when grandma and granddad, when they had a washing machine, it seemed like it lasted forever. And I did have one repairman. He did tell me, you know, he said, Rich, the machine that you have right now, because I had to come and have him look at it, you know, because just didn't, they said that this washing machine is guaranteed to be quiet. It was anything but quiet. Even when I shut the door, you know, it was just made all kinds of noise and so forth. But he guaranteed. But I thought, well, okay, it's making noises. Maybe I need to have the repairman come and look and see if there's something loose. Well, there wasn't anything loose. He just told me. He said, Rich, your washing machine, if it lasts you for 5-6 years, that's pretty good. It just won't last forever. And we see that, you know, just in general, you know, there's different things, you know, that we think if we get something new, it's going to be wonderful, but yet some of those things that we get, you know, they don't last forever. They either break down, you know, or they collect dust, or we're done with them. But with Jesus, he's never finished with us. He's always doing something new. And I wrote some, what did I do with it? I did have a piece of paper up here. Boys, did you see it? Thank you. Wow. I wrote some verses down. You know, just as a reminder, you know, that with the new life that we have in Christ, it's amazing when I begin to write, you know, these verses down, how many times you find the word new. I just encourage you, you know, maybe in your time alone with the Lord, you know, just kind of do some search and see what Jesus has to say to you. One of them was in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 19. And this is what it says. God is speaking. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. I am doing something new. Question, because of your relationship that you have with Jesus Christ, can you testify to the fact that he's doing something new in your life this day, this moment? We rest sometimes on the past, which is a good thing, but Jesus always is in the business of doing something new for us all the time. And just to plug in to what he's doing. Even through times of heartache and pain that you go through in life, Jesus is saying, because he did that for me. I know he's still doing something new in my life. You know, the people that I've been able to minister to, that he brings into my path, you know, is to share with them how much. I looked at a lady just the other day and just reminded her, because she was heartbroken, she was struggling, she was down and out. I didn't have really any answers to really give to her, but the one answer I did share with her is to let her know how much Jesus deeply loves her. And the moment those words came out of my mouth, I didn't go there with that intent, with that plan, but just in the moment that I was there, because Jesus wants us to go alongside of other people and to encourage them in their journey that they have with Christ. And doing a new thing is asking Jesus, help me to do something new today that would give hope to someone else. And just being able to sit there with her and just a reminder of the love of Jesus. And when I said that, the whole countenance, the whole demeanor just began to change. Not because of me, but because of the Spirit of God that was ministering to her in her brokenness and her pain. Doing a new thing for all of us as we trust ourselves to him. Revelation chapter 21, verse 5, it says, "And he who was seated on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." I'm making all things new. Not just some things, not just a few things, all things I am making new. Do you see it? Do you perceive it? Do you know it? Of what he's doing in your life. Conforming you to the very likeness of Jesus himself, even through the trials and tragedies of life. You know, there's a medicine I have to take, you know, every now and then because of my back, you know, and I know I took too much this past week, you know. And I think about Wednesday or Thursday, I can't remember what day it was, you know, I was out there in La La Land. I mean, not doing stupid things. I mean, I just wanted to sleep all day. It's just amazing how a little pill will have that effect on you. Has that ever happened to you? Yeah, it's kind of crazy. But yet God is saying to me, no, it's okay. Because Rich, I want you to see that I'm making everything new in your life as you begin to trust me and rely upon me. Making something new. Also, another passage there, which goes with reference to the baptism, is, you know, we're buried, therefore, with him by baptism unto death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. That's Romans 6, verse 4. You know, so walking in the newness of life. How new is your life? You know, I like what Paul said there in I believe it's there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 31. Paul said this, I die daily. And that's a concept, you know, but do we really grasp what Paul is saying there, dying daily? Not, you know, in the physical sense, but dying, I believe, to the ways of sin, the old life, and walking in the newness of life that Christ has for us. I think that really hit me in a way, and I kind of made reference to it last Sunday, but I guess I was kind of careful because I didn't want my grandkids that were here, I didn't want them to take it in the wrong way, which I'll probably explain it to them later when I'm with them again. But I think for those of you who had a spouse, when Diane died, a part of me died also. A part of me died. You know, where do you pick up the pieces when your hopes and dreams have been scattered? I died, a part of me. And I realized, you know, that my old way of living, not that it was bad, not that it was sinful, but I knew it was going to take on me, you know, a new dimension that I've never been before. As far as they refer to, and I kind of did mention this, you know, the old normal of how I did things and how I, you know, related to people and so forth was going to change to something new and something new, because the new was I would have to begin to have new relationships. And see things in a different way, in a different manner than I never saw before. I know hospice did that for me. You know, I was with a person the other day and I said, you know, it's amazing what hospice has done for me. I guess in a way, I wish every pastor would just kind of sign up for hospice. I'm not saying that, you know, as far as, you know, because you begin to see people differently. You don't judge people, but you bring people along. You let God's word do the judging, but you nurture people and help them in the journey that they are on, that they will have this intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. I saw that in my years of being a hospice chaplain, but also I saw that, you know, when my wife passed away, and how God in the next year, I mean, I never dreamt, you know, a year ago that I'd be standing before you folks. That was out of the picture. Period. I'm not saying that in a negative sense, okay? I'm not saying that at all. That wasn't there. I didn't see it. And this didn't catch God by surprise. And it's almost like, you know, we have those journeys, as the ladies were having their journey, you know, going to the tomb. They had certain expectations. They had certain dreams. They had certain aspirations. All that was blown away. And now where do they go from here, other than the fact they heard from an angel saying, no, he's not here anymore, he is alive, he's going to do something new in your life and in your heart. You need to walk with him in obedience to what he reveals to you. It will come to pass. And I believe, you know, that God, you know, from the different people that I'm hearing, you know, since I've been with you, because what God is doing to me in my life, and I never thought this point when I said, you know, as far as I never dreamt I'd be here, you know, a year ago, but God is also saying to me in my imperfect way and in my weak way as well, he has given me a congregation to love, and the nurture. I never thought. And God is kind of saying to me, Rich, I know you've been hurting and you've been struggling and so forth, but I'm going to do something new. I'm going to make something new. I'm going to transform your life into my likeness, because there's a congregation. Not I'm the perfect pastor, okay? Because I know there's more well-qualified pastors than me. I know that. Okay, and I'm not, you know, bashing myself, you know, or anything like that, you know. But I want you to know that there is a love that you have that's inside of you. You need to let it out. And let the people know how much you love and care for them. Now, they may not always agree with what I say or do. That's a fact of life, you know. But I believe that's the new that God wants to do, not just for me as your pastor at this time, you know, but he wants to do that for all of us. Touching the lives of other people, doing something new. That's the picture. That, you know, because with these ladies, you know, they were so pumped of what the news they received, you know, from Jesus. And I'm sure, and I know it's in the other account there, I believe it's in the Gospel of John, you know, when Mary just thought, you know, it was the gardener that was there, and he just called her by name, and she got so thrilled, because tears keeps us away from seeing who Jesus really is. And when she turned and saw, you know, when he spoke her name, you know, she was rejuvenated. And Jesus, even this day, comes alongside to rejuvenate us, to renew us, and to know that, you know, there's a mission that I have you to go into, to make a difference, from the youngest to the oldest. You know, and I believe, you know, God, you know, is wants to do something, whether big or small. You know, I don't want you to get the picture, I'm in for numbers or anything like that. But with a small group that we have here, you know, and I just hear different testimonies that people are expressing. You know, I know we all kind of, I hear it often, you know, it's the baptism that we had, you know. I mean, you know, that's a God thing. That's not a man thing. That is a God thing. God is saying to us, people, do you see? I am doing something new. Embrace what I am doing in your hearts and in your lives. And it's almost like he's saying, I've got more things in store for you if you continue to rely upon me. And whether we grow in numbers, that's God's business. That's not mine. That's God's business. And if he wants it at this size, that's his business. But learn to love. And, and learn to... I almost beat Baptist on the head there. Oh, yeah, it's fun to know Jesus. It really is. You know, but it's all because that he arose. And he rose from the dead. Thank God. And always doing something new. As he's doing in my life, he will do it in your life as well. And even through those hard, difficult situations, and sometimes in times of confrontation as well, it's knowing that the love of God makes up the difference. He does. Trust him. Trust him. Now, Father, thank you again for your goodness. Thank you for your love that's been shed abroad in our hearts. You are the way maker. You are the redeemer. Always doing something new, and we stand amazed, Lord, of how you work through individuals such as me and others, Lord. And yet that's exactly how you work. You take the weak, the insufficient, as the disciples were, and you did something extraordinary through their lives as they came and submitted themselves completely and wholeheartedly to you. Your perfect will was done, and it brought glory to your name. So we thank you, Jesus, again. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. We'll stand and we'll sing together that hymn, He Arose, or no, Christ Arose, Christ Arose.